I want you to take your Bibles today and turn to two different passages. And the first one is Ephesians chapter 5. And just mark that. Just go to Ephesians 5 in the latter half of the New Testament and just mark that place. And then I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 10. That's going to kind of be our base text today and what we're talking about for the next several weeks. In fact, I want you to understand that this message today is kind of the foundation, the introduction for everything I want to talk about for the next 3 weeks as we talk about home team, as we talk about family. And I know what a tremendous task that is, because we all have different kinds of families. We all have different kinds of family situations. And you kind of learn that when, I don't know if you've ever moved in with anybody, or you've just been traveling somewhere and you've got this, maybe your parents or an aunt or an uncle or their family or good friends, and they say, hey, if you're coming to our city, just stay with us for a while. And you move in with them for just a couple of days and you realize how different every home life is, how different every family is. And, you know, I know mine's different than yours. Just to give you kind of a brief capsule of my family life, I was born to my parents, Paul and Lonnie's daddy. I was the firstborn. I have two sisters, younger sisters. They both work in our preschool department. My mom and dad, though my dad was an accountant, my mom was a nurse. They were very godly people, and they taught us the Word of God. Every day we got poured into what God's Word meant, and we also saw in them, as children, we saw in our parents a living example of what it means to live out the life of a follower of Jesus. And so I know I'm very blessed. I was very, very blessed as a child to grow up in that atmosphere and environment. And then I met a beautiful young lady named Christy, who became my wife. We've been married 26 years. And she was raised by godly parents as well. In fact, her dad was in the military after a lifetime service in the military, had a computer career, and then God called him to ministry. And so late in life, he went to seminary. I went to New Orleans Seminary in New Orleans. He went to New Orleans Extension Center here in Atlanta. We actually graduated from seminary at the same time. And so she grew up in that environment with that home, those godly parents that poured into her and taught her. And so our home's been blessed, and she's been a great godly mom to our son Micah. And I know when I say that and I share that story, you say, well, you know what? I don't know what you're planning on teaching on or talking about when it comes to the home and family, because you cannot identify with me. Because other people's family life is different than mine. Maybe you've had struggles that you faced in your childhood with your parents that were very difficult and very painful and still have an impact on you in the way you live. Or maybe you have some struggles as an adult that are different from mine, and so you're saying to yourself, because of those struggles and those experiences, there's no way you as a pastor living in that kind of protected environment could actually identify with me in my home life or have anything to say. Two things about that. Number one, don't think just because I grew up in a Christian home with godly parents and a great atmosphere, which I did, that there weren't any struggles. There were struggles, and there still are struggles. And second is this, it's not dependent upon my personal experience, is it? See, the good news is I'm not up here to share with you just my story and my personal experience, but the story of God's Word and the truth of His Word, and He knows every one of us. He knows what we're going through. He knows our home life, and He knows what's best for us, and so we can listen to the teaching of His Word, and it changes everything. That's phenomenal. Now, because we have so many different experiences and different ideas about family life, I know we're going to react to the message differently. And I just want to tell you, we need to be careful. Because some people grew up like I did in that very godly atmosphere and now have a very godly home and really, really are blessed. And you have the tendency, when you grow up in a godly home, to get married and think that your family life should be like that of your parents and think that their family life was what comes natural. It's just natural. That's the way family's supposed to be. But it's not natural. It's supernatural. It's the work of God and your parents that created that home and that environment. And so what you may have is you may have high expectations of your family life and low effort. In other words, you're thinking, I don't have to put anything into this. I don't have to work at this at all. My parents didn't. I mean, they just had a godly home with God. They were godly people, and we were so blessed. And so that's what our home needs to be like. But you're putting forth very, very little effort, and so you're wondering why things aren't happening the way they happen with your parents. The other could be the case, and that is that you've had great struggles in your childhood, and because of the struggles that you faced and the challenges you faced and maybe some of the scars that are in your own life, you look at it and you think, number one, you may not have any hope as an adult. You may think that, you know what, you are doomed to repeat the failures of your parents. And you know what? man, it carries a lot of weight. And what you need to be careful of is this, that you don't fall into that trap. Because it could be easy for you to have low expectations and put forth low effort and then fall in the same pitiful rut that your parents were in and pass that right on to your children. So you got to be careful. We got to be careful with whatever reaction, whatever family life we've had, what our reaction will be to this message. Now, here's the question. How do we strengthen our families? And every family can be strengthened. No matter if you feel like you've got a great environment or you've got an environment that needs a lot of improvement or you're in a real tragic situation, we can all strengthen our families. How do we do that? I want to give you three things that I want you to write down. The first one has to do with those that grew up in great godly environments. The second one has to do with those that grew up in less than godly environments. And the third one has to do with all of us. The first one is this. If you grew up in a great environment, you need to build on that tradition in your home. You need to be determined with every ounce of energy and effort that you have that you're going to build on the foundation that was laid for you in your parents. Because don't take that for granted. It is a gift that God's given to you and a blessing. And so you have a firm foundation to stand on and build on that. Give it everything you've got so that your family can be a godly home. The second thing that we need to do is we need to break the cycle. If you grew up in a family that had great troubles and struggles and was less than godly, I mean, just didn't look anything like God, and you feel a lot of, you have a lot of pain in your life because of that, you need to be determined to break the cycle, not to repeat it. You need to make a decision in your life to say, you know what? That kind of parenting and that kind of family is going to die with my parents. It is not going to come to my house. And you need to break the cycle. And the third thing we need to do is we need to bring our best home. And what I mean by that is simply that so many of us give our best in other places than to our family. We give our best to work. We go to work, give our best brain power, our emotional energy, every creativity, everything we've got, man, we just pour into our job. And you know what? That's a good thing, but don't just give the leftovers to family. Bring your best home. And I want to show you what that means because I think this is really important. And this message and what I'm going to share is really just one point, but it lays a foundation for everything else that we're going to say and everything else that we're going to talk about as it relates to family. So this is very, very important. So I want to invite a friend of mine up here. His name is Bo Schuler. And Bo's my buddy, and he's going to help me illustrate this point. Let him get his bat, Dad. It's under the seat. This is Bo, the baseball man, Schuler. Welcome him. He looks ready, doesn't he? Get your bat. All right, Bo, we're going to teach him something today, okay? Told you. All right, you ready? You ready? All right. Good job. All right. Let's see if you can really get a hold of one. There you go. Let's give Bo a round of applause. Come here, Bo. I want you to teach a lesson to these guys for me, okay? What does it take to hit the ball? What's the rule of baseball?
Eye on the ball.
All right, let's say that one more time.
Eye on the ball.
Eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. Thank you, Bo. That was great. Now, what does that mean? Well, the phrase, keep your eye on the ball, is a call to a life focused on priorities, the right priorities. Now, here's the question for us. How do we bring that home? What is the priority for a godly family? I mean, what is the priority for that? Well, let me tell you what it's not. Okay, first let me tell you what it's not. Number one, it's not this. Priority living is not only a change in action. Because that'll be the tendency for some people that are here today. When we talk about the family, I mean, this is one of those subjects that hits home with everybody because we all have struggles. We all want to be better. We all, you know, would like our family to be a godly family. So when you start talking about family, one of the first temptations for us is to say, you know what, I'm going to go home and I'm going to rearrange some things. I'm going to change some of the things, the way I act. And everybody's excited about that. But some of you are sitting here today and you were here the last time I talked about family and you said, you know what, you said the same thing and you went home and you changed those things. But guess what, now you're right back into the same old things again and you're saying, man, now I got to do this whole thing again. The other thing that we say is this, it has to do with one of those popular things that we talk about today, and that's quality time. But I want you to know that taking the priority for the family home does not mean rearranging time. It doesn't just mean rearranging time. Both of those things, when you put them together, if that's all you've got, lead to regression and broken promises and disappointment and regrets. Because you don't have it in you, and I don't have it in me, to be a godly husband, wife, mother, dad. We're going to give up. We're going to give in. We're going to fall right back into the rut that we're in before. So that's what it's not. So let me talk about what it is. And I just want to prepare you. When I say this, it's going to sound natural for being in church, but it's going to sound strange when talking about the family. And it's this. The priority for a godly family is Jesus. The priority for a godly family is simply Jesus. Now, why that seems strange is this, because a lot of people say, you mean to tell me that you don't think that a person who doesn't know Jesus can be a good parent? No, you can be a good parent in the worldly view. You can be a good parent. But what we don't need more goodness. You see, man, through the last 20 years, we have all kinds of seminars, and we have all kinds of preparation for goodness in families. We've got public school systems that are inundated with how to be a good kid and a good student and a good child. We even teach parents through public seminars about being better at being a good parent. But we don't need goodness. And I'll tell you why I know that, because we're having more family struggles today than any generation ever has lived on the face of the earth. What we need is godliness. We don't need goodness, we need godliness. We need God-likeness in our home, in us. And you can't do that without Jesus. And so the answer to the question, what is it that brings a priority to our homes? What is a priority for the godly family? It's Jesus. It's simply Jesus. Now what I want to do is I want to read a text to you that may seem, again, a bit strange, but it is a place where Jesus mentions the family, and actually it's a place where Jesus puts the family in its proper place. And so once you look in Matthew chapter 10, look down in verse 34. And I want to read these few verses to you. These are Jesus' words. He's speaking. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Man, that seems strange, doesn't it? In fact, the first line just kind of shocks us when he says that. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. We have the Christmas song that says, peace on earth, goodwill to men, on whom his favor rests. There is nothing like the peace of Jesus that reconciles the world to God. But he says in this instance that the gospel will be so sharp it will be like a sword. It's a metaphor. And it will divide even the closest of relatives. In verse 37 he says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, let me just tell you, the word worthy there in those few verses is sharp. And this is not a light word. This is, you do not deserve Jesus. And what does he say? Look in verse 37. The key to understanding this whole passage is found in three words. It's repeated twice in verse 37. Whoever loves his father or mother more than me, those are the three words, more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So just underline those, just circle those, more than me. And what the whole point, if you were to boil those verses down into one point, what he's saying is there is no human relationship on this earth that should compare to the intimate love that you have for Jesus. If you want to bring focus to your home, if you want to bring your best home, then what you need to do, you need to focus your priority not on changing actions, not on rearranging time, but on loving Jesus. Because then you can be your best, you can be your best, and you can bring your best home. Everything changes when you love Jesus. The fact is, there should be no human relationship, no love for son or daughter, no love for husband or wife, no love for mom or dad that should compare or rival the intimate, passionate, intense love you have for Jesus. Now, what I want to do is I want to apply that with three simple statements and show why Jesus is so essential to the family. Number one is this: because godliness is impossible without unrivaled love for Jesus. Godliness is impossible without unrivaled love for Jesus. I don't know if you caught that or if you get that. But sometimes, let me just tell you that we make gods out of human relationships. I hear men say sometimes, "I worship the ground my wife walks on." I know that sounds like a compliment to you, but it sounds like an insult to me. Because your wife is not your God. I watch parents raise kids, and sometimes we turn the whole world upside down for our children, and we make children our God. And children shouldn't lead the home, much less be God over the home. Listen, there is no way that you can be your best in your home, and there's no way that you can certainly bring godliness to your home if there is a rival in your heart when it comes to loving Jesus. Now, think about it for a minute. If you replace Jesus with your children, your wife, they become God in the home, then essentially you have taken God out of the home. And without God in the home, there's no way that you can have godliness. The absence of God means the absence of godliness. You can't be God's and have that kind of rival love in your home. And you say, "Man, I really love my wife, I really love my husband, or I really love my kids." You know what? You really need to get to know Jesus. Because Jesus makes it very clear in this passage. There is no human relationship, there is nothing on this earth that should rival the love that you have in your heart for Jesus. If there is, then you are not worthy of Jesus. Those are his words. Second thing, the self-sacrificing love needed in the family is only found in Jesus. Look in Ephesians 5. You marked it earlier. Look in Ephesians 5. And just listen to this one example of love in the home between a husband and wife. The love that a husband is to have for his wife. And you listen to this and you think about what he's asking of us, what he's calling us to. He says in verse 25 of chapter 5, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Did you hear that? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's self-sacrificing love. Love that knows no limits. "That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies, for he who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Do you hear the call? The depth of love? There is no way, humanly speaking, that you can love your wife the way God requires and calls us, other than to be empowered by the presence of Jesus in your own heart. You see, the self-sacrificing love that's required in a home that's going to be a godly home where Christ reigns and rules, it's only supplied and only found in the person of Jesus. And then the third thing. No challenge is unconquerable when we are committed to loving and following Jesus first. No challenge is unconquerable when we are committed to loving and following Jesus first. You just think about that for a second. I mean, we all go through struggles. And I tell you this, the closer the relationships, the more intense the struggle. You know, when you're distant from someone, the struggles that you're going with them aren't as meaningful or as powerful or personal. But the closer you are to them, the more intense and powerful and personal they become. And when you talk about a family, you're talking about the most intimate relationships that we know horizontally in this world. And so there's a lot of struggles. But I can tell you this, there is no struggle unconquerable when we as family members are committed to loving and following Jesus first. And let me just give you some examples. There are some of you that may be going through some intense marital stress and strains, and you may sit at the table and look across the table and say, you know what? Look at your husband, and in your mind you may be saying, this is not the man I married. I don't know what's going on in his mind. I don't know what's going on in his heart, but there's things that are dividing us, and I don't know how to overcome it. You may look across the table at your wife, and you may say, this is not the woman that I married. I don't know what's going on in her life. I don't know what's happening with her, and I don't know how to fix this. In fact, you know what you discover really quick when you get in a family? That there are circumstances and situations, there are relationships and personalities involved, there are people involved, and it quickly gets so deep that the situations that are involved are way over your head. And you say to yourself, I do not know what else to do. I don't know how many parents have come to me and sat down and they said, here's what's going on with my kids. Here's what's happening in their life. And you know, I'm doing my best. I'm reading every book I can. I'm taking every pop psychology course to try to impact their lives. I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to do. And I can tell you what you need to do is you need to lean and love on Jesus because he is king. He's king over all circumstance. He's king over every heart. He's king over every situation. He's king over every family. He's king over all the earth. Listen, I just got in a plane. I flew a long way from here. And I was in that plane a lot longer than I wanted to be. Hours seemed like days in that little seat. I was on the window seat, which was great for the 4 hours of sleep and terrible for the other 17 hours on the plane. I was trapped. So all I could do was stare out the window, read. And as I looked out the window and I saw the moon reflecting on the backsides of the clouds, I was just thinking about, now how great of a God is this? He can make all this. It all works together. It's phenomenal. That God's king. And when you don't know what to do, you don't know where to turn, when you're in over your head, and you say, what do I need to do? I'll tell you what you need to do. You personally need to say, there is no one more important in my life than Jesus, and I'm committed to following him, and I'm committed to loving him, and I'm going to let him handle this situation in my life. I want to be the example of what it means to walk through difficult times, leaning, loving, and following Jesus. He can handle this. Husband and wives, listen, you may be facing some struggles that you've seen that you think are irreconcilable. On your own, you're correct. But with Jesus, there is no challenge that you face that can't be beat, that can't be conquered. If you will say in your heart, ladies, more than anything else in this day, it is important to me to honor the name of Jesus. And with all of my heart, with all of my strength, I'm going to love on him. And husband, if you will say to yourself and make a commitment of your heart that, you know what, with everything in my life, the most important thing to me in this day is that I will honor the name of Jesus and I'm going to follow him and love him with all of my heart. He is going to be of supreme importance in my life. I guarantee you, no matter what it is that divides you, God can conquer it in your life and bring healing to your home. That's Jesus. So listen. How do you bring the best home? By being good? Just mustering up a little more goodness? How do you bring the best home? By just rearranging a few things? How do you bring the best home? Just spending a little bit more time there? No, you bring the best home by surrendering your life to Jesus, by loving Him supremely. And then everything you need to be the godly man, the godly woman, the godly child in your family is supplied by Jesus. So here's how I want to do our invitation today. In just a minute, we're going to invite you to come forward and invite you to pray. And by the way, I want you to know you don't have to be in crisis to listen to what God's trying to say to you. You may be on easy street right now. But what God's saying to you is this, is just asking you a simple question. Do you really love me more than mother or father or son or daughter? Do you really love me? Somebody said this a couple of weeks ago, and it just kind of struck me funny. I was thinking about our homes and where we live. And you hear people say this all the time, I love my house. How many of you love your house? You love your house? Okay, about a third of you. How many of you hate your house? About a third of you. How many of you wish somebody would clean your house? All of you. Think about this for a second. You know, after you move in and the newness wears off, it's really not about the house, is it? It's about the people that live in the house. Would you still love to go there if none of the people that you love, none of your family want to live there? If they all live somewhere else? You wouldn't love it near as much because it's the people that you love. This is where we live. Now think about this for a second. Are you in love with heaven? Are you in love with Jesus? If Jesus wasn't in heaven, would you still love heaven? See, He never tells us to love heaven. Never in God's word does He tell us to love heaven. We want to look forward to going there. But He tells us to love Jesus. We love heaven because Jesus is there. Maybe the problem in your home is not just more time or a little more goodness. What you really need is a good dose of godliness, and the only way that's going to come is if you love Jesus more than anything or anyone else. So in our invitation today, maybe just, Dad, maybe you just need to reach over, grab your wife's hands, and then you need to get your kids, and you need to come to the altar and say, you know what, God, I just want to confess something to you. We got this whole thing out of order. And it's not messed up yet, but it will be. What we need to do is we just need to love you first and to love you the most. Maybe you're here and you're going through a great struggle in your life right now and you're wondering what to do. You can't fix it. I mean, you can't fix people. You can't make people do stuff. Maybe what you need to do is you need to focus on this heart, the heart that's in you and the relationship you have with Jesus, and say, you know what, I may be in a terrible place and I may be in a horrible relationship right now and it may cause a great pain in my life, but what I'm going to do first in my life is I'm going to make sure that I'm loving Jesus. And let's let God have His way in our homes. That's when it's best. So let's stand together right now. I want us to pray. Father, I bow before You today, and I just thank You for the people that You've gathered here and the families that are represented. And I know there's so many different situations out there, Lord, but Your word is true and powerful for every home and every heart. And I pray right now that we just get the message. Keep your eye on the ball as a call to family priorities. And the biggest, the greatest priority for our homes is that we love Jesus. We love Jesus more than anything or anyone in the world. God, I just pray that you would help us to learn that and to know that and to offer that kind of love so that you have no rivals in our heart, so that the self-sacrificing love that's needed in our homes just comes because of your presence in us. Because, Lord, we've got some struggles in our lives that are greater than we are, and we know we're in over our head. But we know nothing is unconquerable when we love you and we follow you. So, Lord, work in hearts, work in homes as we love Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.